invaluable. I want you to think about that today. Each one of you that are here, each one that are watching online, you are invaluable. And I was thinking through that word, and usually when that prefix is on there, it means not. It means you're not valuable. But in the case of invaluable, it's the opposite. It is, you are extremely valuable. You are on the opposite side of things. So I want you to think with me today. Each one, sometimes we come into church and we don't feel valuable. We don't feel priceless. We don't feel like we're indispensable or that we're irreplaceable. I don't know if you've ever walked in a room and felt not wanted before, felt like nobody really cared that you were there. I hope not. I hope it didn't happen in this place. My heart as your pastor is that you would leave this service today understanding that you are invaluable, that you are a priceless being, that you are indispensable, and it doesn't matter what age you are, no matter how old you are or how young you are invaluable to the work of God, and God loves you, and God cares for you, and God has a plan for you, no matter what your age, no matter what your gifting, no matter what you've been through, no matter the problems or the circumstances that you've had in your life. You are invaluable, that you are priceless, that God loves you and God has a plan for you. I want everybody to just go like this if you're with me. All right, you still with me? All right, you understand that I'm talking to you, that God has a plan for each one of us, that he loves you, that he cares for you, and that you are a priceless work of art. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read some scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but before we get there, I just want you to think about this, that God called you, that God loves you, that God has chosen you, that you are capable of doing things for God. And you say, well, you don't know the things that I've done, and I don't, and you don't know the problems that I have that I'm dealing with, and I don't know those. I know that every person in here, every person watching online has something going on in their life. You have situations, you have problems, you have things that you deal with on a regular basis. And I know this, I know that God cares for you and God wants to help you through that. And God has a plan for you. And so whatever that is, as we kind of unfold this and think about this today and think about what the scripture is saying, I just want you to lean into this and to know that I'm not talking about the person next to you or the person in the other row or the person on the other side of the room. I'm talking to you, each one of us, you and me. We are valuable. We are extremely valuable. We are priceless, and God has something for you. All right, here's what I want you to do. Will you stand to your feet? If you're able to stand to your feet, I invite you to do that. We're gonna look at God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're gonna start in verse number 12. All right, this section, the unity yet diversity in the body, that we are a body of believers. I want you to look at what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Verse 14 says, indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it's not for that reason. It is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, weird concept, look what it says. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? As it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. Pause and pray with me. God, I thank you for each person that's in this room. I thank you for those who are watching us online. And I thank you, God, that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. I thank you for this church and what it stood for so long. And as we continue to press forward for your kingdom and reach out to this 5-mile radius around this building and share your love to a lost and dying world all around us, I pray that you would help each one of us to understand the purpose that you have for us, that you would help us in this service to feel your love towards us and to know how priceless we are in your eyes and to know how valuable we are to not only this church, but to the body of believers, but to you. God, I thank you for loving us and caring for us. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that we could accept your gift of salvation and live with hope and with purpose. Bless our time today. God, if there are those watching or those in here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today your Holy Spirit would convict and draw them to surrender to you. If there are those who have been kicking the tires on this church for a while and need to join this church, become a part of your body, I pray that they would do that today. And that, God, we'd celebrate as we move forward for you. Bless our time now. In your name we pray. Amen. As you're seated, I want you to think about this thought here of being invaluable, being called, being chosen by God, being capable of doing something for him. Over the course of my life as a pastor and as a Christian, I think it's easy to get into a slump or into a season where we just think, well, I've already done my time or I've done things for God and now things are different. And what I've learned over my ministry and time as a pastor is that sometimes the things that you used to do that you say, well, I served here for a long time, sometimes that shifts and maybe there's something different that God has for you in this season than he did in the last season. And sometimes we don't really put our heart and our mind on that. We don't think about it because maybe we need a little break or we need some time away. And sometimes these thoughts of, well, I've already done it, or I'm not that important, or I'm not talented enough to shift from this to that, or what I'm doing really doesn't matter, so it's not a big deal, or I'm not good enough to step into this ministry role or to do something different outside of my wheelhouse, or maybe my past, I've done some things in my past, and because of that, I'm too bad. I feel like I'm too bad to step into a ministry role or to serve God or to do something for him. A lot of these thoughts compiling in, and we sometimes feel completely unworthy of doing anything for God. We get to this part where the devil's just slamming on us and saying, you're not talented enough, you're not important enough, you don't know enough about that, you can't do that because of what you did, and all of these feelings and hurts start to well up, and we go like, I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I can do that. And so maybe you're in that boat where you've had these thoughts to creep in, and the devil just throws these lies at churches and at church members and as Christians to say, you're really not that important. And here's what I want you to think about today. When you're not here as your pastor, I look out and some of you are throwing curveball at me, Brent. All right? Switching sides on me. We used to be over here, now he's over here. But there's some time where I look out and I see people, I see each one of you, and I try to connect with each one and know your names and know your families and know your situations. And I want you to know when you're gone, you are missed. When you're not here, you're missed. And I watch online and I see some of the folks that can't be here every week because of health reasons or things going on in their families or lives. And I want you to know that you're loved and you're missed. But sometimes this thought creeps into our heads that if I weren't there, it really wouldn't matter. That if I didn't show up, nobody would notice, nobody would care, nobody would say anything. And I want you to know it does matter. You matter. God loves you and God cares for you and God has a plan for you. And as a body of believers, we've got to care for one another. We've got to understand this. I want you to think about this. Let me see how smart you are, I guess, in the room. What does anyone know? You can yell it out. What is a group of elephants called? A herd of elephants, all right? What about lions? A pride of lions. Man, you guys, Jeopardy contestants. What about a group of cheetahs? It's not Cheetos, Bill. What is, anybody know? No, it's a coalition of cheetahs. And maybe a pack too, but coalition is what I wrote down. How about a group of donkeys? Don't say it. I see. Group of donkeys is a pace of donkeys. How about a group of crows? Murder. Yeah, that's a weird one. A murder of crows. How about vultures? Congress. You know? It's a committee. A committee. And that's it. That's just straight from, I mean, that's, don't read into that. All right? Group of vultures, a committee. I was looking at this, and there was a game I used to play that had different things. I think I've done it at Lunch Bunch. Individually, each animal has their own name, but then together, they have this new identity. They have this new name that's called. This is a group. And so when I ask you this question, what do you call a person that's surrendered to Christ? You would say a saved, a Christian, a disciple. But a group of people that surrendered to Christ is called what? Yeah, there we go. So a group of us, that Christ followers that care, that are Christians, that are disciples, that are saved, a group of us is called a church. We're the body of Christ. And we come together to be the body of Christ and to love each other and to love our community and to share the message of hope with a lost and dying world around us. We come in so that we can go out and be on mission for Him as a body of believers that cares for the message of hope that we know, that we celebrate on Easter, that Jesus came and lived and died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. And we know this, and our lives are different because of this. And you have to understand that you are an invaluable part of the body of Christ, that each one of us has something that we can be doing for God's kingdom, that we could be sharing, that we could be serving, that we could be going, that we could be loving people. And a lot of different areas, a lot of different ways of ministries or individual things that you do in your heart and in your life, but you're the hands of Jesus when you serve and you care for people. You're the feet of Jesus when you step out and you go. You're the mouth when you share and you open your mouth and say, I want to tell you about this person that changed my life forever. And you're the heart of Jesus when you love and have compassion and kindness and care for people. When you think about these things as the body of Christ, like all of us, every part of the body matters. I'll explain to you. Two years ago, I had my second back surgery, and since that time, my right foot has decided to stay asleep, and so it's not the whole thing, just from the halfway all the way back. And so when I walk, sometimes I will walk into my closet. For some reason, it's always I go in the closet, and my foot will turn the wrong way, and I'll stagger or move because I don't realize that my foot has turned the wrong way because it's just numb. And it's annoying because it's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be keeping me balanced and help me as I walk and move. And so I have to really think about, what are you doing, right foot? Like, move to where you know you're supposed to go so that my 200 plus pounds don't fall over and have to try and get back up again. That right foot is a problem. What I want you to think about, every part of our body matters. Physically, every part of our body matters. But as a body of believers, as the body of Christ, as a unified body of people who care about Christ and have invited Him to save us for all eternity, like, every part matters. Your part matters, and my part matters, and our parts are different. We all have something valuable that we bring. Every part of the body matters. If you look back at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 and following, it said, yeah, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not the part of the body because I'm not the hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And the ear, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye. Would that make it any less part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? It's a simple concept and something that we can understand as people that have eyes and ears and arms and legs, and we have the parts of our body, and we understand that they all kind of work together. When my right foot doesn't work, it makes it hard for me to move and to stand and to do the things that I'm attempting to do. So as a body of believers, when you understand that God has you here for a purpose, that you're a part of First Baptist South Lebanon for a reason, and that every part of the body matters, I want you to pray about what is your part? What is it that God has for you? What has God laid on your heart that you can invest in, that you could care for, that you can do as a part of the body here at First Baptist South Lebanon? What is it that God's saying, hey, you've got this gift. Hey, I know that you served here, but I want you to do this. I want you to step out of your comfort zone and to be a part of this. Or I want you to, maybe he's laying something on your heart that's totally out there, and you're going, you know what, but how did you know? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows that he's laying it on your heart. Sometimes you just got to be encouraged to do and to be what God's called you to be. Don't belittle yourself and say, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know with my past. I don't know if I know enough to be this or to do this. If God's laying on your heart, I want you to pray about right now. Just pray that God would show you the part of the body that you need to be. What is it that God's pulling you in, that he's saying for you to do, to be a part of? Every part of the body matters. When you think about verse 22 says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. They seem the weakest and most least important, but they're the most necessary. I think about my right foot. It seems to be not that important, but it is a major deal when you're trying to stand up or walk or balance. And so think about this. Every part matters. You know that 50% of your hand strength comes from this little buddy right here? 50% of your hand strength comes from one finger, the little pinky finger. Yeah, that's crazy. That's interesting. A little part that makes a big difference in your strength. The uvula, the thing in the back of your throat, over the course of your lifetime, listen to this, it secretes enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools. Yeah, that's disgusting. And pretty interesting. All right, that's a little tiny part in your body, but does a major thing over the course of your life. Armpit hair. Calm down, all right? We've all got it. Not you, ladies. I know, it doesn't grow. Armpit hair diffuses a natural smell to attract a mate. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I look it up. But small thing that makes a big difference. Some of y'all need to shower, make sure that smell don't, go, just kidding. Small things make a big difference. Sometimes we have gifting that you think is just a small thing. We have people that do things here around this church that go unnoticed. They don't go unnoticed. They go not talked about. Man, you know, there's someone who cuts the lawn and trims the edges and puts weed feed and stuff on, and he'd kill me if I said his name, but man, I care about him, and I know that his ministry of service is so important. Twice a week to cut all of this grass around this building, and when you come in and it looks amazing and it looks nice, we just think, wow, that just always looks like that. No, it doesn't. It takes a lot of work, and that's somebody who's giving and somebody who's using their gift, and you may think, well, that's just the pinky, but that's a big deal. That's a massive ministry. When people that cook the food, people that clean the things, people that do a part, do different ministries that make a massive difference. John Sizemore, a couple years ago, started a ministry called the Soup for the Soul, and he would make soup, and he would put it in little serving containers and freeze it, and then when people were sick or people had a time where they couldn't come to church, he would take the soup. That's a ministry that continues today. And you say, man, I want to be a part of that. No, you can talk to Jim, and we'll get you in there, but people that make soup and put it in a freezer, and we can take it and care for people that are hurting and that are in need of a meal. Small thing that makes a big difference. It's something, it's a ministry of using gift and talent, and that doesn't require a whole lot of anything. And you say, man, I'm a really good cook. I'm a really good chef. Wow, come make some soup, freeze it, and care for people who are hurting, care for people who need it. There are so many ministries and so much things that when we start to think about the church, it goes beyond just children and student ministries and men's and women's ministries and our service that meets on Sunday morning. There are so many areas and so many avenues that you can plug into. There's so many things that if you said, you know what, I've got a dream about this, God may be laying something on your heart that you're gifted at, that you could use your gift for God's glory. I want you to think about, what is it that God has for you? The people that stand at the door and greet and open the doors and care for people and smile at people. You don't know what kind of a difference that makes in someone when they're walking in and they've had a bad week and they've had bad stuff happen to them and they're hurting and they're dealing with things. Everybody is dealing with things. Everyone has stuff that happens in our lives that sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's really bad. And when you walk in a door and somebody smiles and welcomes you and hands you a bulletin or says, hey, good morning, it's good to see you in church, that makes a difference. And so let's not discredit someone who's handing a bulletin or smiling at somebody at the door or pouring a cup of coffee in the coffee shop or standing in here and smiling. Like, God can use you at the big things and he can use you in the little things. And you say, well, the little things don't matter. The little things make a huge difference. A huge difference. We've had people join this church because someone gave them a taco out of a taco truck down here in South Lebanon. It's amazing. God can use the seemingly small thing to make a massive difference. And God wants to use each one of you. If you're here today, I want you to think about this. There's something that God has for you. And don't sit here and tell me, well, I failed at this, or I struggle with this, or you know, once this gets better, this is like, we can constantly come up with excuse after excuse of why we're not doing something, or why we used to do something, or why it's just a thought and I haven't put it into practice. Stop and understand this. You matter. God has a plan for you, and God will work all of those things out. All of the things that you're struggling with, all the things that you're saying, well, I would if this was different, or I would if I hadn't messed up here, if I hadn't said this, I hadn't done this. God wants to heal those things, and God wants to use you. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. Just say, yes, God, I'm available to you, and I want to be used by you in the way that only you can use me. I want you to show me what that is. Your presence here this morning matters here. Watching online, it matters. Your worship to Jesus matters. Your whole family matters to God. Each and every one of us, every number, every week we count and we look at the count and we see how many people are here, not just to count people, but to understand that every number has a name and every name has a story and every story matters to God. And so each one of you, when you come in here and you have a story, you have things that are going on, you have things that have happened to you, you have things that have hurt you, you've had loss, you've had struggle, you've had difficulty. And maybe right now you're sitting here with heavy heart and you're dealing with difficult things. I want you to know that God loves you and that you're invaluable to him, that he cares for you, that he loves you, and that his hand's on you right now, that he can bring you the peace and he can bring you the strength to overcome and he can bring you the encouragement. And so when I tell you this, it doesn't just mean the big things. It's not just the preacher up here preaching a sermon. It's all of us. And when a greeter smiles and when someone's sitting in your class and says a word of encouragement, it may be a small thing to the person saying a word of encouragement, but it's a massive deal to somebody who's dealing with hurt and is struggling and going through stuff in their life. You matter. Your story matters. Your gifts matter. Your voice matters. Your words that you use, they matter. And if you go out of here and you use words of encouragement and words that are lifting up and you say words about First Baptist South Lebanon and you say, what a great church, that matters. If you go out and you go home and you put online, I hate that church, I'll never go back, that matters. That hurts. And people see that and it hurts the kingdom. It's about him. So your words matter, your gifts matter, your generosity matters. When you give money, it's not just to keep the lights on. It's so that ministry can happen. It's so that we can run these buses down and around this 5-mile radius to bring people in on Wednesdays. So we can fill the doors with Awana children learning and memorizing scripture and learning about him. And the teenagers that group's growing as well. We got the two biggest groups going to camp, youth and kids camp, this summer here in a couple weeks. It's exciting to see God doing that. But when you are generous, when you give, it helps us to make the kingdom bigger, to make heaven crowded. That's what we're here for, to share the gospel with people all around. What you do matters. What you give matters. You know, we've reached two goals in a row now. A lot of Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong, Easter offering, we went over our goal. And it's amazing to me, it's exciting to me to be a pastor of a church of people who care about giving to missions, to sharing the gospel. here in the United States and all over the world. To be a part of a Southern Baptist church that unifies, that joins together, pools our money together to send missionaries, thousands of missionaries all over to share the message of hope with a lost and dying world. And we've met our goal, exceeded our goal. And I'm excited about that. What you give matters. When you give, it not only just helps us to make our budget, but it helps us to be able to expand ministries and to do things that we're unable to do if we don't hit that. When you give an offering, your gift makes a difference. When you open the app and you say, well, I can't do a whole lot of anything. Listen to this. When you open our new app on your phone, if you can't get it on there, I'll wait around and help you get it on your phone. But I want you to understand this. When you open the app, there's a prayer section on there where people like yourselves, if you got something going on, you go, man, I need somebody to pray for me. I've got this issue that I'm dealing with. You can put a prayer request on there, and people that are sitting next to you right now, people that are watching online, can click on that and say, I'm praying for you. And you can set a word of encouragement. That's something that you can do if you can't walk a mile. That's something you can do if you're sitting in your house all day and you can pull it up and just say, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray for that person who's dealing with that struggle. I'm going to pray for that little boy. I'm going to pray for that problem. And when you say a prayer, your faith moves the heart of God. When we join our hearts together and we say, God, please heal that person. God, please help that person who's struggling. It moves the heart of God. When you invite someone to church, your invitation could change a life. Something as small as, hey, just come sit in the pew with me and come to my church. This is kind of cool. We're doing something a little different. Come with me. And that could change their life forever, for all eternity. If someone comes, if someone accepts Christ, when you share Jesus, that matters and it changes a life. When you greet, when you listen to someone who's hurting, when you open your home and invite somebody to come over, when you make someone a meal, when you share a bowl of soup, you're showing the love of Jesus with people. Right. And so my thought for you today is what we do for the least of these, you're doing for Jesus. And so when you think about everything that you could do and the things that maybe God's laid on your heart, God may be telling you just surrender. Surrender it to him. He may has been calling you to do something or to say something or to be a part of something. And it could, something that he wants done is not being done. When you sit back and say, I'm not good enough, or I'm not there yet, or I'm not ready to surrender to that yet, or I just don't know about that. That's going to inconvenience me. Stop and understand that you matter to God, and God has a purpose for you, and he has a plan for you, and he wants to use you to be his hands and to be his feet. You're invaluable to God's work. He loves you. He cares for you. It's not your ability, but it's your availability. I just want you to think about this before I wrap this up. If you do your part, I do my part. We do our part as a body of believers. Think about what's possible. That if each one of us just did what God tells us in his word to do, he wants us to use our gifts, and he wants us to use our abilities, but he wants us to be faithful at sharing his love and to be kind to people and to share the message of hope with people around us. And so if we look for those opportunities, if you did what your part and I did my part, and all of us as a church, we do our part and we go into this community and we're praying about this 5-mile radius around this building, the thousands upon thousands of people in this 5-mile radius, if we just did our part, just imagine what God could do through First Baptist South Lebanon. If each one of us just got on our knees before God and said, God, I want you to use me like never before. I want you to use my words. I want you to use my actions. I want you to use my hands. I want you to use my feet. I want you to guide me and guide my steps and help me. What would happen if we were just truly, genuinely say, God, I give you my everything. I know as a part of the body of believers that I could give, I could do something here. I could be a part of this. I could give this because I know that God's blessed me here. I know that I need to serve here because God's been pulling on my heart to do that. I wonder if we just said yes to God and said, God, I'm going to do my part and trust that everybody else is doing their part, our church would be a totally different church. You say, well, you don't know the things I'm doing. And I don't, I know. And I could go through a list of people in this room and in this building who do things so much, so many things. There are people that wear 70 different hats. And like, I'm this one day and this a different day. And I get that. There are people that work year round for ministries. I talked about our lawn person. I think of Linda, who works year-round for the Operation Christmas Child boxes, that even now, in whatever month we're in, we're getting ready for Operation Christmas Child because we sent almost 1,000 boxes last year. And so she's giving and she's serving. And there are people just like her and just like you who are sitting here going, listen, I know that God is using you. I know that you're available. My challenge for you is that you would think about this. What is it that God's telling you to step out and do? What is it that you need to give? What is it that you need to be a part of? What is it that you need to start? God wants to use you, and you are a valuable piece to him. If you're not a part of this church, and I'm gonna have an invitation here in just a moment, I invite you to come and join this church and say, hey, I wanna live, attend, give, and serve. That's what the four things we ask as membership, that you live a godly life, that you attend services, that you give financially to support the ministry of this church, and that you find a way to serve, plug in and serve, that you wouldn't just be, you wouldn't just soak in, but that you would pour out as well, that you'd let God use you in whatever that you're gifted in. And so if you haven't, you're not a part of this church, I invite you to come and to be a part. Join this church. Say, I want to live, attend, give, and serve. I want to be a part here. I want to find my place of service. Maybe you've been a member for a long time and you don't have a place. Maybe you've been living for God, you've been attending, you've been giving, but you haven't been serving. Find an area, find a way. It doesn't have to be flashy. It can be something small. It can be something massive. But what is it that God's saying, hey, I want you to serve in this area. I want you to step out of your comfort zone here. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to start this. What would happen if all of us really did our part? Say, God, I want to step in and I want to be used by you. Amen. We have a lot of people doing a lot of things, but there are a lot of people who come every week who really aren't a part of serving, aren't a part of ministries here. And I would encourage you, take that next step of being a part of what God has for you. Pray about in this moment of invitation. Maybe you need to come and kneel at the altar and say, God, I need you to show me. I need you to show me where I can serve. Show me how I can step out and be used by you here at First Baptist. Maybe you need to pray about joining this church. Say, I'm gonna join. I'm gonna align with where we're at, and I'm gonna move forward for the kingdom. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, and you hear this and you go, well, someone who follows Christ is a disciple, is a follower, is a believer, and you've never done that. And you hear us talking about a group of believers becomes, we're the church, and we go out and do what God's called us to do. Well, maybe today God's laying it on your heart and saying, hey, you've never accepted me. You've never put your faith and your trust in me. Today, right now, in this moment of invitation, just a moment, you can surrender your life to Jesus. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. If you've never accepted that gift of salvation, today is the day. This is your moment. You can surrender to him. You can invite him to be your Lord. And you can leave here different than you walked in. If you're watching online, you've never done that, make a comment. I read those comments after this afternoon. I'll read each one. If you have something that you need to talk to me, you can private message as well. I care about you. And every person in this room, every person watching online, you matter. You matter to God. You're invaluable to him. You're priceless to him. He'd leave the 99 for the one. So if you're lost out there, you've never accepted Jesus, today, surrender, accept him as your Lord, and leave here different. Christians, maybe you've just been going through the motions. Today, let's be different. Let's do something different. God, what is it that you're laying on my heart to do different?